Rabbi said we're here somewhere a little bit more than halfway through the 11th parak of the Sefer Chovos Talmidim, and here we're speaking about in the old printing, in the middle of the Daf Kuf Yud, the paragraph Emor Me'ata Tzadi Dal in the new printing, and we're speaking about how a person can get inspired. How does a person get inspired? How does a person feel? You know, like we said, without feeling, you're not going to get anywhere. So how do you feel it? It's Tzadi Dalit, the beginning of the paragraph is Emor Me'ata. How does a person feel something? So I think that this is very much the what he says here is very much what's happening, unfolding in these parshas. I've spoke to some of you about this before. What's unfolding in these parshas is that there is a conflict between Yosef and his brothers, but more accurately, it's really between Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef and Yehuda, because the brothers all rallied behind Yehuda as being their leader, and Yosef was claiming that he's the leader. What's this conflict? What is this disagreement about? And I think it's as follows. I think that when a person speaks about the most important organ, or the most central organ in the human body, so there's two responses most people say. It's either the mind, it's either the organ of with the head, or it's the heart. Those two are represented by Yosef and Yehuda. The pasuk says, Tihiyena liroish Yosef, ulakadkad nizirechot. Tihiyena liroish Yosef. Yosef is known as the Roish, as the head. Yosef is ben zukunim, which is that which Rashi brings down, which Yaakov taught him all his chachma. Yosef is the one that represents the head, the mind. The brilliant mind is Yosef. Yehuda, b'kerev achecha tasim alecha melech. Yehuda is referred to as what's inside, or the centrally located, the heart of a person. A Yehuda, the symbol for Shevet Yehuda is the Ari, is the lion. The lion represents the heart. The Lev Ari, a female lion, is called a Levia, because the lion is known for his heart. There was a famous warrior who was referred to as the lion heart, because that's what a lion is known for its courage, for its heart. So you have these two things, the heart, which is the bed of all feeling and emotion, and you have the mind, which is all intellect. Who controls who? Who's going to be in control? The mind or the heart? I think that is really what boils down to this conflict between Yehuda and Yosef. And what the realization that we have to have is that it's really the mind that controls the heart. A person wants to feel something. How do I feel it? How do I get a feeling like that for something to be important? And what he says over here is, the answer is you have to think about that thing. Spend time thinking about it. If you think about something, then you become attached to it. You become emotionally connected to it. Our problem is, not that we don't feel things, it's we don't think about things. Our generation is so busy thinking about nothingness. We're killing time. We have so many distractions. We don't have time to think. Just think about something. We don't do that anymore. Sure, we know. We know that davening is important. We know that intellectually. But do we think about it ever? Do we spend time thinking about things? Very rarely. Because we're so busy. So many things are going on. So many distractions. That we don't have time to think about anything anymore. People don't think. They have no feeling. I remember the first time I got into a taxi in Manhattan. When I saw they have televisions over there in the back seats of the taxis. Because, you know, in Chas V'Shalom, you should be bored from, like, you know, when you get into the taxi to when you get to where you are, that you should have some, some nothingness to look at. I went to the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles. There's a television. You wait online, you know, by the passport control, there's a television. It's like, you know, everywhere you go, they want to keep you distracted. You shouldn't, Chas V'Shalom, have, like, a conversation with the person standing next to you, who might be your spouse or something like that, you know, or anything. You know, we're constantly being distracted. Always. There's never time when you do not have something else to do. And a person doesn't have time to think. And therefore we don't have feeling. We have to think about things. We have to spend time talking about them. And then we'll have feelings for it. That's where feelings come from. People say, I don't know, I just don't feel it. It's not, I don't know, I just don't feel it. It's, if you would spend time, if you would invest the time to work on it, to think about it, to talk about it, you would feel it. And that's what it's about. So he says as follows. We're in the middle of this paragraph, Ubamida. Shetoisif lachshoiv bazeh. The more you think about something, as much the measurement that you think about it, tisragel be'emuna, and you become more accustomed to your faith, your emuna, and your belief, until it's no longer something that's just like hidden, you know, somewhere away, miyadiyas ha'ish, where no one else knows about it. Rak yediyo vadoyis, your emuna will be certain. Ura'oya brura ve'sana, it'll be proven, it'll be clear, it'll be strong. Yediya yoiser brura lecha, it'll be in something that you know clearer. Midiyoscha shahashemesh meir, more than the fact that the sun shines. A person can know something so clearly, he can be so positive that it'll be even clearer than just the fact that there's a sun that shines. And these are things he never even saw. Emuna HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something you never, we never saw it. But it's clearer than day. Not clear as day, clearer than day. Ki zois Torah HaYisrael. That is Torah HaYisrael. Af HaDvarim Shelemayla Misichloi. Even things that are above, beyond our Seichel. Things that we can't really grasp. We don't, it's hard for us to fathom. The more a person, he goes over it, he reviews it. And thinks about these things. Becomes certain. Becomes strong to him. More than the things that a person sees. I think that there's a hint in this week's parasha. Because the pasuk says that Yosef, that Paro had a dream. Paro had a dream, and in a certain degree, it bothered him. He was uncomfortable. He was looking for someone to interpret the dreams. And it says in the pasuk, "Poiser ein loy." There was no one that who could be poiser the dreams for Paro. Now, what does that mean? There was no one there that could, you know, wasn't like such a complicated dream. So Chazal tell us that there were people that were giving interpretations to the dream, but they didn't talk to him. Sometimes someone tells you something, and it rings true, and you know it's true, and that's what happened. When Yosef told him interpretation, Paro said, this is it, this is true. Certain things that we don't necessarily, you don't have a proof, how do you have a proof to that? But you know when someone's speaking MS to you, and it's true to the point where Paro took Yosef and made him Sheini Lamelech. Right, because certain things, you just know it, you feel it, it rings, truth can ring inside of you. So the things that l'mayla mehasad haseinu, they're above us. We can't understand that. We don't know what that means. Olam ha-neshamas, olam ha-nitzchiyas, you know, the tainug of Gan Eden, these things are beyond us. But we know they're true. We're so, they ring of emes. And the more a person thinks about it, the more a person tries to grasp it, the stronger, firmer his belief becomes. Hoshati ki haloi nafshoi roya gamis hadvarim shelemailam isichlo. Listen to this. There's an unbelievable idea over here, Abu Isai, and it's very important for us to know this. He says we see things with our physical eyes. Your neshama sees things that your eyes don't see. Your neshama can see things that your eyes don't see. There are stories about this. There's one story in particular. There's a book called All for the Boss. I'm sure we have it here. It's a very special book about a very special person. We used to call him Old Man Herman. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman. He was a tzaddik that lived in somewhere in New York. Williamsburg or something like that. Where? Manhattan. Whatever. Mr. Herman. And the story is, one of the stories, there's unbelievable stories in there. Really exceptional, phenomenal stories. A story about one time they found the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. It's relevant to, you know, to Hanukkah. They found the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. They sent them a letter that someone found the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Some of them are, you know, in Rome, but some of them were left. And how he dealt with it and other unbelievable stories there. One of the stories, which stories I'm going to tell? One of the stories was as follows. He was going through a regular day, and all of a sudden, he started to panic. Just started panicking. And he started saying vidui and saying tilim, and his family said, what's going on? He said, I don't know. And at the same time, his daughter, somewhere else, just had a terrible accident, and her life was in danger. He didn't see it. His neshama saw it. He started panicking. And sometimes a person, neshama, can see things his eyes don't see. Chazal tell us that this type of thing doesn't happen to most of us on a regular, during the course of our life. But for example, if a person on Rosh Hashanah feels a moment of panic, so Chazal tell us that moment of panic is because at that moment he's in front of the Kisei HaKavod. The neshama feels it. So yichapet sitem. That's what happens. And a person feels, you know, that perhaps he gets somewhat nervous on Rosh Hashanah, he should know that that's his moment. So neshama sees things that the eyes don't see. And the neshama knows things that the eyes, that your person can't necessarily put into words. Because he's not conscious of it. But he knows it's true. And if someone would tell it to him, it feels right. There's certain things that just feel right. And a person has to try to get in touch with that. So what he's saying is, there are things that a person can't see with his own eyes. More than what he sees with his own eyes. Even above, I can't comprehend. The more a person thinks about these things, the more a person tries to come in touch with these things, so he's bringing out his nefesh and his neshama. And he starts to see the truth in them. And it could be that beforehand, it just sounded foreign to him. But the more a person thinks about things and talks about them, he realizes, hey, you know, this is right. This is truth. And the truth begins to ring. V'loyes amunas Hashem. Not amunas Hashem. V'chiyu mali kol ha'olam amunas bilvad. Not only the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the entire universe. Not just that are we going to bring out. Tisragalach shev tamid. Should he think about this all the time? Ela gam es tachlischa v'tachlis kol Yisrael shedibanu leil. Your purpose in this world, the purpose of all of Klal Yisrael, what your mission is, utnai shehisna Kadosh Baruch Hu imanu, and the condition that Kadosh Baruch Hu made with us, which is v'yisem li segula mikol ha'amim. You are my special people. Mamleches koyanim. You are a priestly people. The goy kadosh. You are a holy nation. Tachshoif. Think about that. Kipam v'pam. Every once in a while, a person should be thinking about that. I have a purpose. I have a calling. I have a reason why I'm here. I have an identity. I am part of a holy nation. I'm a holy person. I'm part of a priestly people. That means that I'm a leader. A person that should think about this enough. Ad until shelotiye tachlis hazeh be'einecha. This tachlis shouldn't be in your eyes. Kidover hayoytzim in aklal. Something bizarre. Like, wow, he became a holy Jew. What is a holy Jew? A holy Jew is regular. He's goy kadosh. That's Klal Yisrael. That's something out of the ordinary. Well, that's standard. That's what we're supposed to be. Mamleches Koyanim. That means that we are people, a nation of leaders. A person that doesn't just follow the trend, but he does what he knows is right. Is that normal? Is that regular? A person who thinks about this enough and realizes this is standard. This is Aleph Beis. This is the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a Kodesh Baruch Hu's special people. We're supposed to be special. If a person realizes that, then he says this is not like extra credit. This is being part of Klal. This is Klal Yisrael. Ki'ilu derashnim chadvarim noisafim. Like that's extra. Is that extra? She'ef shagam biladeim, that you could be without that? Or it's not extra? Raku be'einecha tira she'ba'ofen acher yi'efshar lihiyos Yisrael. Without that, you can't be a Yid. Without that, you're not a Yid. There's a vort from the Chofetz Chaim. I can show you inside if you want to see it. It's in the Parshas Hazinu. Pasuk says in Parshas Hazinu, when it's describing the Torah, says the Torah, Lo yidavo reikhu mikem, ki hu chayechem. Torah is not something that you're empty of. It's not empty. Ki hu chayechem, it's your life. Listen to this Peshad of Chofetz Chaim. He says, that's such a bizarre thing. It's like, it's not nothing, it's your life. What does the pasuk mean to say? It's lo davar reik hu mikem. It's not something that you're empty of, or empty. Ki hu chayechem. Says the Chofetz Chaim Peshad in the pasuk. I can show it to you inside if you want to see. Listen to this Peshad. He says, you know, if a person has a car, you could have a car that has anti-locking brakes, or a car that doesn't have anti-locking brakes. You can have a car that has automatic windows, a car that doesn't have automatic windows. You can even have a car with windshield wipers and without windshield wipers. Either way, it's a car. But if the car has no engine, then it's not a car anymore. Now it's a go-kart. In order to be a car, you need an engine. There are certain things that they are not optional. Those are not additions. Without that, it doesn't exist. So what does it mean to be a Yid? Says the Chofetz Chaim. A Yid without Torah is not a Yid. Loidavar reik humikem. It's not something you could be empty of and say, he does have Torah, he doesn't have Torah. That doesn't exist. Ki hu chayechem. That's your life. That's what it means to exist as a Yid. So this is not something that's optional. It's not something that we say, okay, you know, if it works out for me, it works out for me. This is our life. There's a medrash. I'll share with you a medrash. The medrash says that there was a person that he was Pogash Eliyahu HaNavi. And Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, Nu, so, did you learn? He said, learning's too hard. It's too hard. So he said to him, so what are you doing? That I'm a fisherman. So really? How do you catch fish? With a net. He said, who taught you how to make fisherman knots? Kiyodua, as is known, fisherman knots are very, very complicated. Fisherman knots. Very hard to make. And as a matter of fact, I think that we don't even know all of the what used to be the fisherman knots. We don't even know how to make them anymore. They're very complicated. So he said, I learned how to make fisherman knots. He says, how'd you learn how to do it? But it's very hard. I said, yeah, but, you know, my parnosa depended on me making fisherman knots. So I learned how to make fisherman knots. Says Eliyahu HaNavi, if you realize that your life depended on learning Torah, you'd be able to learn Torah also. Torah's hard. Okay. But if your life depends on it, you could do it. Depends what your attitude is towards it. If it's just, you know, something, sure, I'll give it a shot if it works. If it goes easy, I'll do it. You know, it's okay. If a person's attitude towards something is, this is my life, this is important, this is, without this I can't exist, this is basics, you're going to learn how to do it. I once had someone who I was close with who he really learned much in yeshiva, and he was complaining, you know, it's so hard, Aramaic, you know, he's having a hard time with learning and figuring it out. Anyway, he came to visit me once. We were driving And he was telling me all about his atzala. He's very big on atzala, and he's like very involved. And he was turned on his radio for me. I should be able to hear all the atzala. And I said to him, I don't know, this sounds like Aramaic to me. I'm not sure what you're listening to over here, but no one's speaking English. I said, how'd you figure this out? He says, oh, well, to get on atzala, you have to pass a test. He showed me a book that was like bigger than Baba Basra, I'm positive, in his back seat, like this big. He says, I got to study this book. I got to know backwards and forwards in order to get on Hatzala. So why can't you do that for Baba Basra? Or at least Kiddushin. You know what I mean? It's like, but no. You know why? Because come on, I got to be on Hatzala. But, you know, learning is optional. And if a person says, this is an option for me, so then maybe he's not going to feel like he's going to be able to get through the bumpy road. But if a person realizes how critical this is, how important this is for my life, this is standard. I can't be without this. Then a person has a whole different approach. We have to define what it means, the minimum. What it means, you know, lower than that is already like not acceptable. And where we define that is going to change how we're going to behave. I was one time, this was many years ago, I would have to guess, 10 years ago, I was Ben Azmanim. I went Basikin to Davin at the Koisel during Ben Azmanim, and I met a Rosh Hashiva there from America. So he says to me, Nu, what were you machadish yesterday? It was Ben Azmanim. So I said, in Lashon Sagi Nohar, I said, well, I'm doing Chazara now. That's my way of saying. I said, you weren't machadish anything. He said, no. Oy, Nebuch. And I was taken aback. Said, how could you go a day without a chiddush? I wasn't thinking in those terms, benas manim, you know what I mean? But he gave me, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, where's my standard? What is my standard for what happens over Ben Azmanim? What's my standard for what happens during this month? Bacher once called up Reb Shimon Schwab on the phone. I know who the Bacher was. He told Reb Shimon that he had a shaila. This is going back, Reb Shimon's already not with us many years, going back close to 20 years. He missed Shachris in the morning on Rosh Chodesh. So he wants to know, should he daven Mincha, Tashlumin, Musaf, or Musaf, Tashlumin, Mincha, or Mincha, Musaf, Tashlumin, or what? He didn't know what to do. He was like all confused because it was Rosh Chodesh and he was Shachris, and what's he supposed to do? Reb Shimon Schwab went off on him. Like, he went ballistic. A yeshiva bacher misses Shachris? He started screaming, a yeshiva bacher misses Shachris? How could it be? He didn't answer Shaila. He did not answer Shaila. Refused. How could it be? Miken Zayn, Yeshiva Bacher, not being by Shachris. What else do you have to do with your life? So he stuck his foot in his mouth. He said, well, I had a chasm of a friend last night. I was out late. That was the wrong thing to say. That was a big mistake. But there's a standard that people have to have. What's the standard? Where do we set like the standard for what is considered acceptable? We went to Tells once, to the yeshiva in Tells, and there my eldest zayda was very close with Rav Gifter. Rav Gifter learned in Tells. My eldest zayda sent him to Tells from America, and they used to write letters back and forth. So he wrote a letter that on the second day of Shavuos. So there was some bachrim who were going to get some air. They went for a walk. The balabatim in Tells got very upset. Shiva bachar going for a walk on Shavuos. What's going on over here? What type of yeshiva bachar is this? Goes for a walk on Shavuos, second day. It's like totally unacceptable. Where's the standard? So some of these standards are, you know, maybe somewhat lofty for us. But a person has to set a standard for himself. And wherever you set the standard, that's what you are going to live up to. A person sets a high standard for himself, he lives up to that standard. You set a low standard for yourself, then you're okay, because as long as you hit your standard. There's a saying, most people don't set their goals high and hit and miss. They set their goals low and hit. Most people don't set their goals high and miss. except it goes home, low and hit. In other words, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If this is all I got to do, this is all I'm going to do. But if a person expects more of himself, he says, this is where I have to be. This is what it means to be a yeshiva bachur. This is what it means to be part of Klal Yisrael. What does it mean to be a part of Klal Yisrael? What does it mean? People are like very into being, I'm just a Pashita Yid. What does it mean to be a Pashita Yid? My Zayda, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, who the yeshiva is named after. He was a Pashita Yid. He was a balabas. He barely spent any time in yeshiva, definitely didn't spend any time in Koilo. And he was a Pashita Yid. Got up at 4:45 every morning, and he did the daf, he did a perek of Rambam, he said all Sefer Tehillim every week, he was Mavis Sedra. He did the daf 5 times a day. You know, he was Pashta. He was a Pashta. You ask him, he would say, I'm a Pashta Yid. He was, you know, simple Mr. Rosenbaum with a mustache. He was a Pashta Yid. For me, that's a Pashta. Never once missed a davening in shul. Never. Didn't happen. He's a Pashta Yid. So we're trying to aspire to be a Pashta Yid. What does that mean? And he wasn't alone. I mean, you go back a few generations, that's what Pashta Yid did. Pashtiyidin were most nefesh for Shabbos. They were most nefesh for Kashrus. So it means Pashtiyid doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean anything less than keeping Shulchan Aruch, all of the halachas of Shulchan Aruch, everything. So we have to set standards for ourselves. Ubeminda shetisiragel b'machshavas elu, and as much as we think these machshavas, and we remind ourselves. Your entire attitude, your entire approach will change ala oilam. The way you look at the world, al am Yisrael, on klal Yisrael ve'alecha, and on yourself, li yois acheres, to expect more of yourself. Kiddusha el yoyna v'Yisrael. Lo yeh etzlecha kishnei dvarim shaynim rachokim. You're not going to see, you know, kiddusha el yoyna, loftiness, spirituality, kiddusha, sanctity, and Yisrael as being two different things. It's not like I could be a Yid, I could be a Helik Yid. Yid means Helik. Rakdo v'do achashi, it's all the same thing. If you repeat this, you remind yourself, that's the standard, this is what I need to... When you have this hashkafa, oz me'atzmecha, on your own, gam belibcha tid'av, in your own heart, it's going to bother you. You're going to feel it. You feel inside of you some sort of stupidity, some sort of kleinakait, something that's babyish, foolishness, v'tasmid levakish, and you will constantly be searching. I want to go in your truth. Show me your path. Hoshieni. Save me. She'evdecha be'emes b'yiro v'ahava. I want to serve you, truth, with love, and with the right fear. V'chol she'tas me levakesh, tas me lav. The more a person searches for it, the more a person is going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a fascinating story that happened when I was younger. To me, this is very much what it boils down to, what we're speaking about here. There was a player who played in the Major League Baseball. He played for the Baltimore, has their team in Baltimore. He was on the Baltimore team. He was a pitcher. And he was always, every year, he had a losing record. His ERA was somewhere in the high threes or in the fours. He was nothing special. He got traded to a team in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, they had a coach who was known for being a very good motivator. And that year, he became an all-star. First year for L.A. So they asked him, what happened? What's the change? You know, why did you become so great? He said the following story. He said, I was walking. It was not much after I was traded. I was walking in the tunnel from the locker room to the clubhouse, or the other way around. And I'm walking by the manager. And as we pass each other in the tunnel, he grabs me and he shoves me up against the wall. looks me straight in the eye. He says to me, Mike, you're going to win 20 games this season. And he stared at me so strong, and he looked at me with so much belief. I said to myself, I'm winning 20 games this season. And he won 21 games that season. Because when someone is convinced that that is his standard, I'm a 20-game winner, so then I got to win 20 games. This is who I am. When a person is convinced that he's a loser, he will remain a loser. It's all a question of where is our standard? What do we expect of ourselves? What do we want from ourselves? And that's what a person has to work on. Rabbi Yerucham says, a mayridika daher. There's something called yiridas hadayrus. You know, we're not as strong, we're not as good as the previous generations. And every generation is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Rabbi Yerucham says, yiridas hadayrus is not because we're not as strong as we used to be. It's because we don't believe in ourselves as much as they used to. We're complacent with who we are. If we would think about ourselves and say, I expect to be there, we would be there. But we don't. Yiridas hadayrus is yiridas hasheifas. That's all it is. If a person would have aspirations for himself, goals for himself, if he would have a standard for himself, I don't want to be less than this. This is where I need to be. This is where I need to get to. This is important to me. This is my life. And he would think about it, and he would repeat it, and not get distracted. So then it's something that he will have a feeling towards. It's something that will bother him if he's off the mark. And when it bothers us, we can get there. Because anything that we really want to do, we can. That's what it boils down to. So what he's saying here is, a person wants to feel like an attachment to davening. Wants to have a feel, an attachment to learning. He needs to think about it. And he needs to establish for himself a standard. And say, you know, this is what I have to do. It's not, you know, I'll give it a shot, I'll see if it works, you know, if everything goes fine. If not, so then I'm also okay. I could deal. It's got to say, this is what I need. This is who I am. This is what I can do. This is what I have to do. If a person does that, he's constantly searching for it. Then, yes, avtocha. Yogata matzasa. You try, Kadosh Baruch Hu helps. Beis Hashem b'li nedar.